Today's episode is brought to you by Fulton, a modern brand of arch support. Fulton launched the most comfortable, supportive, and sustainable insole on the planet. Fulton believes wellness starts from the ground up and that our feet are the foundation of our bodies. Fulton insoles offer comfortable arch support to align your body from head to toe, mitigating pain, providing comfort, and improving your posture. Fulton is creating a world where shoes we wear are actually good for our bodies, providing you with a sturdier foundation for a healthier future. You know who needs some Fulton support? That's Jeff Green.
Brooklyn Nets forward Jeff Green is going to be out at least 10 days because he has a strained plantar fascia.
Which I just learned what that is.
Yeah, for those who don't know, it's the arch of your foot. You know, if he had some Fulton while he was playing some high-intensity games against the Boston Celtics, in which the Brooklyn Nets were up by a lot, like, the whole time. Yeah, it's not even remotely competitive. But, hey, no. I'll be there Sunday for Game 4 to see them swept. Anyway. Hey.
Won't that be fun?
Fulton, Jeff Green, come together because we got to prevent these plantar fasciitis.
That's right. Strains. If you want to prevent them, Fulton is offering our listeners $10 off your next purchase at walkfulton.com by using the code podcast10. That's code podcast10 for $10 off at walkfulton.com. Check out the website to see how Fulton can support you. Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
And here comes the money.
Here we go.
It's Shane McMahon time.
Yes, it is. And honestly, I think this episode needed to start in one of three ways. The exact way that you did.
Yep.
The man who wears the Jordan 1s all the time. Or the thing that I'm going to remember Shane for the most. The dude who freaking survived a helicopter crash and literally was interviewed about it like 5 minutes after.
Shane truly living the gimmick by falling off of something tall and walking away unscathed.
Like, I don't even understand how this man does half the things. I don't even know. Shane McMahon is like the world's most interesting human being. Like, what do you think he's doing right now?
Let's see. Dinner time. I think he's still on the East Coast. Probably having dinner with his kids.
It's 5:47. And he's a white person. No, he's not having dinner right now. He's having dinner in like an hour.
like you're talking about, bro. White people that's having late dinners.
Y'all just have dinner at like 7.
I do not. But families, they have late dinners.
Exactly. They got to wait for Papa to get home.
Well, Shane's then, you know, probably jumping off of a tree in his backyard.
He's probably like at a rock climbing like facility.
He is attempting to get Nikes through the app and not succeeding.
Oh, screw sneakers. screw the sneakers app. I can't stand that thing. I've only tried getting shoes twice on it and I failed both times. I hate it.
Pain. So we are going to cover Shane McMahon. That's right. The son of the owner of the WWE, Vince McMahon, but not the one who's going to take over the company because he's off doing his own thing and buying Jordans.
My God. This is actually kind of timely because I just finished reading a transcript earlier from the A&E special on The Ultimate Warrior, where Vince McMahon apparently says that, you know, he never treated Warrior like a son because he only has one son. No shit, Vince.
Paul.
Yeah.
His one son is Paul.
Technically, you have two, Vincent.
He forgets about Shane.
He forgets about Shane all the time. But you know Poor Shane. Didn't forget about Shane? Your boys.
No, we got this. We are going to cover 5 Shane McMahon matches, of which he falls off something tall. In all of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does some crazy shit in all of them, that's for sure.
In every single one. Oh, no, sorry. There's one he doesn't fall off of something really tall, but he does something absolutely insane.
It's the most insane of them all.
Before we dive into Shane's insanity, housekeeping notes. Follow the boys on Twitter and Instagram at Crossbody of Work. If you have an idea for someone we should cover, respond to one of our latest tweets or email us, crossbodyworkpodcast@gmail.com.
Or don't even respond. Just tweet at us.
Just tweet us. Just tweet at us. Aggressively.
Yeah, Evan will see it.
Angrily. Yeah. Or, you know, support the boys by heading to the merch table, fullpressshop.com. Cop the merch.
It's good
also,
merch.
Wherever you're listening to, subscribe. Rate 5 stars. 5-star frog splash. You know? Do those
tell
things.
Someone.
Tell your friends. Tell your pastor.
You know, you ever get a friend one. That's like, hey, what wrestling podcast should I listen to? Tell them about your boys.
If they're like, whoa, I don't want to hear about anything that's current. We're like, yo, we got Shane McMahon and Steve Blackman.
Yeah.
We got your hookups.
We did Triple H not super long ago.
Yeah.
And we got all down the pipeline.
Yeah. We got old stuff coming down the wazoo.
We've got all different kind of promotions. You know, yeah. We do the Far East. We've had stuff in the Middle East, you know?
I hate that WWE's in the Middle East, but that's beside the point.
I mean, technically, yes, that is what we covered, but still.
Hate it. Let's dive into the first match, and it's a match that we didn't cover last week because we knew we were going to get into it this week, and that is the SummerSlam 2000 match. Shane McMahon defending the Hardcore Championship because he is the Hardcore Champion coming in here against Steve Blackman. Blackman is here, and he is ready to fucking party. And by party, I mean beat the shit out of somebody with a kendo stick.
So my favorite part about all of this is, so SummerSlam 99, wasn't that the Love Her or Leave Her match between Shane and Tess?
Yes.
A year later, Test helps him win the Hardcore title.
Yes.
Even though he got screwed out of that relationship with Stephanie.
Yes.
By Shane, by the McMahons, Helmsleys, who Shane is a part of.
Yes.
Fucking wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling doesn't remember anything longer than like 3 months ago.
You know what I remember, though? Steve Blackman. This is one of my favorite episodes of all time. Is the Steve Blackman episode from last episode. And now we continue the trend. As everyone who listens to this podcast knows by now, because I mentioned it on every podcast, I have affinity for certain wrestlers. Steve Blackman is one of them. Stevie Richards is another one. John Cena is another one.
Big fan of Steve's.
Consistent themes.
So, the actual match starts with Steve Blackman willing to give Shane a first free shot. This is before Shane was the best in the world, by the way. He was just a punk kid.
I'm going to need you to say it again.
Oh, okay. The best in the world!
No, you got it, dude. More time.
Shane McMahon. So, this is before he was the best in the world. So, Blackman's willing to give him a free shot, and I like it because Shane is like throwing the candlestick back at him. Like, no, I don't want it. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. And then he finally comes in, and Blackman avoids him and starts laying into him. And I'm like, oh, it's a trap.
It's a trap. shout out to Admiral Akbar. Anyways, yeah. Shane was being a heel, and he's very
running
effective
away.
At it. Yeah. Does anyone like Shane McMahon at this point?
Like, at this point, definitely not.
Who likes Shane? Like, Vince doesn't even like Shane. Let's be honest with ourselves. Like, maybe Linda. Maybe Linda. I don't think Stephanie does. I don't think they ever liked each other. Let's be honest with ourselves. They're McMahons. They're the offspring of Vincent Kennedy McMahon. So I don't think either of them, they're just too competitive.
They're a very competitive family. I would hate to be there for family game night.
Dude. Like who do violent. You think wins?
Linda.
No, I don't think anyone wins. I think the games just never end.
Somebody just flips the board over every time. And by
I think
somebody,
Vince
I mean
just
Vince.
Calls it. Like, Vince is just like, get the fuck out of my house.
I hate Twister.
I've never been flexible. Not even with my time.
Tons of, you know, trash can shots to Shane. I also love that they go to the outside. Blackman hops on the barricade and hits like a leaping crane kick.
Yeah,
it Shane, I was like, yeah, martial arts, baby.
We fucking stan. Blackman starts beating ass with a trash lid. I don't know where he got the trash lid, but he starts beating ass with it. There's a spit. Okay, so with the trash lid,
okay,
he does like a so Shane's on his knees in the middle of the ring. Blackman does like a spinning back fist, but with the trash lid to the back of Shane's head. And I swear, I'm not even lying to you, I do not know how Shane was knocked out.
It looked like, it looked like it should
knock
out.
You could do that exact move with a piece of paper, I would still be knocked out.
I have a question for the whole first part of this match. The referee is just holding the Hardcore title.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know there was a referee in this match until the end of the match.
If you watch it the whole time, he's just holding the hardcore title in his hands. I'm like,
24/7 rule, baby.
Do you want to be hardcore champion?
Wait, is the 24/7 rule thing at this time?
It is, but it is. There's a moratorium on it for the match. So similar to last week when we did the Unforgiven Hardcore Invitational, where like they get a reprieve once the match is done. Same thing here.
So I think he's doing that because he's just waiting. You'll never know when a finish comes. You got to hand the title so the person can start running.
Bolting to Monday Night Raw the next night.
Anyways, Blackman starts choking out Shane with like a strap that he found.
Yep.
Just contorted him fucking all sorts of 50 Shades of Grey types of ways. And TNA comes out.
Yes, not the company, but the wonderful tag team of Test and Albert.
This is post getting dished by Trish, I'm pretty sure.
They beat up Blackman, and poor Jimmy Corderas is helpless to stop it.
Well, what the fuck is Jimmy going to do?
Yeah. Stand up to Test?
Test is tall, and Albert's got way too much body hair.
That's true. Blackman fights them off, but not for long, and they're working their way up to the entrance, and they try to drop a fucking amp on Blackman.
Wait, before that, Shane hits patented shitty punches.
Let's dive into it now. Are Shane's punches good?
Oh, I thought you were going to say the worst ever. No, they are not good. They are quite literally the worst punches in the history of professional wrestling.
Do they get better?
No, we'll talk about it. I think they get worse. They look like they get worse. Because then he just starts doing them faster.
Yes. Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page. I was hoping one of us would be like, they're good, but both of us have eyes.
Would either of us say taste? That? Why would know. Anyone say that? Vince McMahon is probably like laughing his ass off in the back while it's happening. He's like, I have punches in my goddamn kid.
It's really noticeable in the last two matches that we watched, but we'll get to that. So like I said, they try to kill Steve Blackman with an amp, but he avoids it. Blackman gets a kendo stick and starts going to town, cracking Albert and Test. And Shane, in a brilliant move, decides that the best strategy is to climb the set.
Yeah, just like starts big
climbing the SummerSlam set.
Or like whatever the they've got there. Yeah. And Blackman's like, oh, I'll come right after you with this kendo stick.
I can follow you.
They get all the way to the top. Blackman, like, he's so scared. He's hugging the fuck out of the scaffolding, which, yeah, I would be too.
Same. Don't like heights.
I don't care about heights. I'm not scared of heights. You know what I am scared of? Falling off of shit. Yeah. That you could easily fall off of.
Definitely.
And so, like, yeah, he's hugging it. And he, like, with his arm, with his hand that's holding the kendo stick, just lightly, like, whips his wrist so that it just lightly hits Shane in the back once. Does it again, twice. And then on the third time of light taps, Shane is just like, oh, shit. And he sells it, like, he goes stiff and just falls backward, like, 80,000 feet through some sort of, like, board stuff that they have set up on the ground for to catch him.
And so he crashes through, and everyone's like, holy shit, it was crazy.
Shane is dead.
Blackman starts to climb down and then decides, I'm going to get down the quick way. And a little diving elbow drop from the scaffold.
Yeah, after climbing down about halfway.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Blackman has the title back where it rightfully belongs. And this is the beginning of the, holy shit, Shane McMahon is willing to do crazy things in a wrestling ring.
Speaking of crazy things that Shane McMahon is willing to do in wrestling, not just the wrestling ring. King of the Ring 2001.
So, there is a feud between Shane McMahon and Olympic gold medalist and wonderful human being Kurt Angle. One of my favorite wrestlers of all time. So I guess McMahon interrupted Angle's celebration of regaining his Olympic gold medals from Chris Benoit the previous night of Judgment Day. And McMahon said that WCW is coming back because this is when he is WCW owner. and they have a, like, they attack one another. I guess Angle hit an Angle slam on McMahon. This led to the match between the two of them at King of the Ring. And it's a street fight, right? Like, it's a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a street fight or anything goes. I don't know.
One of those.
Jargon is...
They're all the same.
Yeah, they're all the same thing.
So This match is best known for one spot in particular, but we'll get to it. Early on, Shane is allowed to keep up with one of the greatest technical wrestlers of all time.
You mean like quite literally the greatest technical wrestler of all time? Why? Yeah. The man won a gold medal at the fucking Olympics.
With a broken freaking neck. But yet, Shane is hitting some arm drags and he's like messing with Angle. And I was like, what? They love booking Shane strong.
Yeah, for the first like 4 or 5 minutes, Shane is on top.
Yeah. Weird.
He loves getting baited, though. Kurt was like baiting him in the middle of the ring, and you know, Shane obviously falls for it. Overhead belly to belly, another one. Kurt is like bloodied already. I don't know when that happened, but he started bleeding a little bit. He hits another belly to belly, and then we get amateur wrestling hour.
It's not bad.
No, it's not bad. I don't know anything about amateur wrestling, so I can't.
I don't know a damn thing. About this. I know that Brock Lesnar did it too.
And you know, I don't Chad know why Gable. Anybody would like look at Brock Lesnar and be like, yeah, I'll wrestle him.
Yeah. You have some sort of something wrong with you if you're like, I could take him.
I can beat him.
Yeah, no. I like when they get to the outside, Shane's running around the outside, hops onto the barricade behind commentary, and then just leaps over commentary and the announce table onto Angle. And I'm like, yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I simplified Shane's offense at this moment in time for everyone, in that Shane is all about two things. Cardio, yes. And throwing himself at people.
And then the second he gets back in the ring with weapons, he throws himself and the weapon at Angle. Like diving, hitting him with a street sign.
Yeah. He starts like he tries to put on an ankle lock, and Kurt just like boots him in the face.
Kurt is so pissed.
Shane tries putting on a sharpshooter and fucking falls on his face.
I hated that sharpshooter attempt.
Puts on the sharpshooter.
I hated it. It's so ugly and gross.
Is it the worst sharpshooter of all time? Because I think so.
I can't think of one that I saw that was worse.
I don't like think there is.
There is one a couple matches from now. There's one that's close to it.
God, you're wrong. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
No, this. See, I give the nod to this one because the other one looks shitty because of the person that took it. This one looks shitty because of the person that's putting it on.
Angle then gets up and he's swinging for the fences on Shane, but he avoids it. Shane has him on the ropes and connects with his weird punches. This is where I initially had it like, are Shane's punches good? The answer is no.
Yeah.
But like, how bad are they?
They're awful. Shane tries going for a shooting star press after he put a trash can on top of Kurt. Kurt moved, left the trash can there, so Shane just goes crashing through the trash can because Shane doesn't have guts, apparently.
No. Kurt then is in control, dumps him to the outside, and we're walking towards the stage, which if you know the thing we're talking about for this match, it's about to go down.
Oh, yeah. Kurt drags him to the panels.
Yeah, because the King of the Ring set has a bunch of glass panels by the entryway.
Yeah, and he's just like, yeah, this guy right here, overhead belly to belly, but it no break. So Kurt go, I do again, and it break.
And the story is that Shane was like, you got to do it the right way, like do it again.
Okay, so here's the technical term, what happened here. So it was supposed to be like some sort of like sugar glass or whatever.
Yeah,
that's the
stuff they use in movies, yeah.
Yeah, the stuff that easily breaks, like you just breathe on it and it breaks. They fucked up and put, I think it was plexiglass? But not like the regular plexiglass that like every office building and or any business out there currently has. It's like another kind of plexiglass that like shatters, but it's still just as hard as normal plexiglass. So this took a second attempt and then shattered, and not in like the regular glass way where it's just a bunch of random tiny pieces. No, this has little shards everywhere.
Yeah.
And you notice it immediately because people start bleeding.
Yeah, Kurt's bleeding. Shane's bleeding a lot. And so now they're on the other side of the set. And what's the only natural way to get back through? Well, it's to it's to try to belly-to-belly Shane through it again. And this time, it doesn't go again.
And no work again.
It no break again. So Shane lands on his head again.
Shane is like blood red. His face is not, he's not actually bleeding from the face, but his face is blood red.
I will say, and we see it in every match, this is the only one where he doesn't dive off something tall. Shane sacrifices his body for the people's entertainment.
Yeah, this is arguably the worst thing of all the stuff that he's done.
100%.
Because I need people to understand, it's not the fact that he smacked up against the glass and then fell that hurts. It's the fact that he's falling to the ground head first, completely unprotected, on concrete.
Yeah, through glass.
The floor, no, not even through glass. He hits the glass and then falls head first, straight down, like no catching himself. And the floor is concrete.
Yeah, it's bad. Kurt, with one of my favorite things to end a match ever, drags Shane's body onto an amp case and just pushes him back to the ring.
Oh, it's an amp case. I thought it was a dolly.
No, it's an amp case. And so he just pushes him back into the ring, gets back into the ring, and Shane kicks out, and everyone's like, oh, what?
Well, no. Yeah, it's been like 5 minutes since the last offensive move happened.
Yeah, but it's been 5 minutes since he was legally declared dead.
Okay, that doesn't happen in wrestling, though.
Shane low blows Angle and gets a headshot with the garbage can lid, and then Shane hits an Angle slam.
Yeah, like, oh, shit, after fucking 10 years, decides to pin him, and Kurt does a Kurt pin, or a kick out.
What exactly is a Kurt kick out?
Oh, it's when you kick out at 3.5.
Little late?
Yeah, it's a, he likes to think he times it correctly. No, Kurt, your shoulder was down when the hand hit the mat. Anyways, Kurt like gets like a board or like a, I don't know, it's like a board, a table bit, a plank. Who cares? Plank. He puts it on the top rope in the corner, sets himself up there with Shane, and hits an avalanche Angle slam for absolutely no reason whatsoever. He could have freaking breathed on Shane, and he probably would have gotten a 3 count.
Yep.
But hits the avalanche Angle slam once again. Shane forced to fall severely hard on his head and upper neck area. 1, 2, 3. Kurt Angle wins, but at what cost?
The cost of a lot of blood, probably some brain cells. But he's earned the respect of the fans. People loved Shane just because that man will do anything. That man's crazy.
Shane McMahon is the craziest son of a bitch in all of pro wrestling. Other than like
people talk about how people talk about how Vince is nuts and like, you know, doing his like 4 a.m. workouts and trying to outlift people like 30, 40 years younger than him. Shane is nuts too. Like all the McMahons will take a bump for the betterment of the business. You can't say that they're not willing to do the things that they expect their wrestlers to do.
I would also like to caveat it when I said earlier that Shane is the craziest son of a bitch in wrestling. I mean like of the non-actual deathmatch people.
Yes.
If you've done a deathmatch, you don't count.
You are in your own category, and you can argue amongst yourselves who is the most hardcore.
Yeah, the answer is Minoru Suzuki.
The answer is David Arquette. we're going to take a commercial break. When we get back, more craziness from Shane McMahon. Back from the break, Unforgiven 2003. Javier loves Unforgiven.
So. Unforgiven, one of my favorite pay-per-views. For absolutely no reason other than I love using it in Raw versus SmackDown.
And it's a good name. Unforgiven 2003, it was a last man standing match versus Kane. This is when Kane was a psychotic mess. He lost his mask, he attacked JR and set him on fire, and then he turned his attention to Linda McMahon and tombstoned Linda McMahon. Constant baby face, except in real life, Linda McMahon. So Shane had to intervene because nobody touches somebody's mama. Mamas are off limits. It's true.
Unless it's like the Undertaker's mama, because, you know, literally this feud wasn't it the one where Paul Bearer was like talking about how they showed that, right? When, I think it was in the build to this match was when Paul Bearer was talking shit about Kane's mama and saying she was like a whore or whatever.
Just leave all mamas out of it.
Except for Kane's, apparently.
Except for Kane's.
Anyways, the build to this match was great because Shane's nuts got electrocuted.
Yeah, Kane used a car battery to electrocute Shane's testicles, which was Javier's request, which was whichever match was around the testicles being electrocuted, that's the one he wanted to watch.
I don't remember either match, to be honest. I just remember the ball sack electrocution, and I'm here for it.
There's a lot of 50 Shades of Grey things happening in this. I haven't read the books or watched the movies, but car battery.
I know that it has Dakota Johnson hit it.
Yes, who has ruined Ellen's life, and I'm forever grateful.
Exactly. Shout out to Dakota Johnson.
What a queen. So Shane attacks Kane during the entrance with a baby blue steel chair. My favorite type of steel chair. I love when they're that color. Looks great.
Okay.
And some early headshots to Kane. Just lots of unprotected headshots today.
Yeah, just all of them. This is like my favorite version of Kane. Is just like fresh out the mask, very awkward, like transition phase, doesn't know what the fuck is going on. He's just mad at everyone for no reason whatsoever. Like, bro, you were doing spinneroonies like a month ago. That Kane, great Kane. When he threw RVD at the door.
Break of the, like, you take the mask away and he's like, I'm all burned. And everyone's like, no, it looks like you just have some soot on your face. And he's like, no, it burns. And then he just goes crazy. I love it.
I mean, the only better version of Kane would definitely be when he was scared of that one date, which was just the release date of See No Evil.
May 19th.
Which is a fun movie. I like See No Evil.
That sounds right up your alley.
I saw it in theaters. So, yeah.
So, the actual match. Shane is trying to cut Kane down to size, taking out his knees. He's running him into steel steps. And then Kane gets control and is like, fuck you, buddy. You're tiny.
Yeah, Clay. Kane is bleeding from his back already in nearly 2 minutes into the match. Kane starts beating Shane around ringside. Shane uses Lil Nate to break the count because this is a last man standing match, and I don't remember what happened because I did the skip 10 seconds thing and I don't want to go back, but both Shane and Lil Nate were down on the ground,
so Kane took out the ref because he didn't want it to be over.
I mean, he could have just like picked them up at 9. He didn't have to take out the ref.
Not one to fuck up Lil Nate a little bit.
Alrighty then. Kane wants to tombstone Shane, but decides against it and then tosses Shane to the ground and grabs some stairs. And then he tries to tombstone Shane on the stairs. But Shane like countered out of it. He pushed, he did the push kind of counter when he's on the shoulder. And then he did a bulldog onto the stairs. He grabs the fucking stairs and start smashing faces.
One face, Kane's face.
Okay. I mean,
Lil Nate didn't get caught in the crossfire.
Depending on which face of Kane you're smashing. He sets Kane up in the corner with the staircase, does the coast to coast, because again, Shane McMahon only knows how to throw himself at people.
His whole offense is about just fucking it up. Just, I'm going to launch myself at this man. I'm going to jump off this tallest thing. Yeah, I use my body as a weapon.
There was a non-actually counting 10 count. Lil Nate is, again, dead, so didn't actually count.
Yeah, they're both up by 9. And then Shane gets tossed to the outside. And for the third match in the row, we're going up to the entryway. Like, that seems to be the recipe for these Shane McMahon matches. Crazy stuff happens in the ring. Somebody gets control. Let's go to the entryway. Something crazy happens there. Everybody goes home happy. It's the whole gimmick.
Kane starts throwing Shane into things. Shane uses like a tray or a lid or something resembling a lunch tray to hit Kane with like unprotected headshots. And then grabs a jib cam and is just like, hey, I'm just going to hit Kane with this.
Yeah, so this is because Shane was on the ground and Kane tried to flip the Spanish announce table, which was up at the entryway at this point, onto Shane, but Shane had moved. And Kane thought he had buried Shane, which I don't understand how he didn't see that Shane moved. Like, you can't bury McMahon at all. It's true. They bury you.
They own the damn thing.
Do you prefer the announce tables up at the entryway or at ringside?
I like the entryway. Just because, like, that's where they were when I was a kid. Honestly, that's the only reason. Because Raw was up there and then SmackDown's had them ringside.
Yes.
I liked that. I liked the varying thing.
Having it look a little different, like having a distinct personality between the two brands.
And also bring back the fist.
For the love of God, bring back the fist. But also bring back something that makes the two brands seem unique.
Other than colors. Like, what is this colors? Fucking Bloods versus Crips?
Every time that there is a draft, or, like, you know, when the brand extension happened in 2016, I was pushing for, like, put the Cruiserweights back on SmackDown. Like, make that the thing. If you want, like, back then, the women's
division was... I mean, it was the thing.
Didn't do it, right? Yeah, but it also wasn't given a lot of time. And they're like, you're just on 205.
And there was Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox. But also, like, the Cruiserweight division, when it was on SmackDown in the heyday, was allowed to interact with other parts of the roster. You know, you could have a match of A-Train versus Brian Kendrick, and that was fine, right? Whereas in this one, it was like, Cruiserweights, only fight Cruiserweights. You're only allowed to fight other people.
Yeah,
like,
Cedric, what? You can only fight Mustafa Ali.
And it'll be good, but nobody will care.
Anyways.
Unfortunately.
Shane hits a DDT in the rampway. He climbs some scaffolding.
Because the jumps man down, loves to climb.
Jumps down, Kane moves, crashes and burns. 10 count. Kane wins.
So here's the shitty thing. He's at the top of the Unforgiven set. I decided to go back and count because I was like, Kane had to have been down for 10 seconds because Kane is on the ground and Shane is climbing this whole fucking set.
Evan, you're thinking too much.
Suspend belief. I get that.
What if he got up and then like slipped?
24 seconds, Kane is down.
What if he got up twice and slipped
out? A fucking shot clock of Kane being down.
It's like I said, what if he got up twice and then slipped?
He didn't. Shane dives, Kane moves, Shane's dead, and Kane manages to win last man standing without really doing a lot of offense. Kane did not get a ton of offense in here. It's his own fault. He just kept diving off of shit.
You know, speaking of death, in 2009, Shanathan McManathan would leave the company.
Shanathan McManathan.
He would leave the company to pursue other interests. He was burnt out with WWE and all that jazz. You probably know more about it than I do.
So Shane left in 2009. He did have some intermittent appearances with the company between this feud. And 2009, he would feud alongside his dad with guys like DX or Legacy or Bobby Lashley. But then, he went and founded some companies in China, I believe. I think it was like an on-demand video China. Service. Yeah. That was his big thing, was starting that. I forget the name of the company, but he was working to kind of develop them out there.
I believe the straw that broke the camel's back was he wanted to buy the UFC. Vince said no. He was like, fuck this. And now, I mean, that would have been a great business venture for Vince, because he would have been making millions of dollars.
Yeah. Shane is still to this day a minority owner of WWE. He still has 2% of the company's shares.
Well, I mean, eventually he'll have a lot more than that if he outlives Vince, which... I mean, wait a minute. No. Here's the thing. If anyone's going to outlive Vince, it's going to be Shane.
That's true. He's got he's half genetic jackhammer.
The fuck is going to kill him? Natural causes? He'll just get up again.
If you try to throw him in a 6-foot grave, he will just easily climb back out.
Exactly. That is what he does. He freaking does a cross with his hands and then he fucking just yeets himself. You can't yeet him into the pits of hell. What the fuck do you think he is?
He will climb back up.
Exactly.
So he did leave, and then it was one of the biggest surprises of all time. We're going to look at the promo now, and this is the return promo of Shane McMahon. Raw, February 22nd, 2016. The Vincent J. McMahon Legacy of Excellence Award is being given by Vincent Kennedy McMahon to Stephanie McMahon. Lots of nepotism. Stephanie is here to accept the award as like a visionary and somebody who is, you know, excellent in their field and all these things. And then Shane surprised everybody by appearing right before she could start a speech. And I remember watching this live and losing my shit.
Yeah, I was Shane also watching it live.
In forever.
Because there was no, like, no one knew it was going to be Shane.
There was no spoiler. There was no indication.
Nothing whatsoever. There was no, like, even faint whisper of Shane McMahon returning to the company or being anywhere near the WWE.
And because it was so, he was so separated for so long and everyone thought it was such a bad breakup that they were like, there's, like, Shane's not coming back. Shane's out. He's been replaced by Paul, right?
Yeah, and people were just, I mean, let's be honest, what we thought was he's a McMahon, you know, family and all that jazz. Like, they're probably still tight outside of TV, but, like, I don't think Shane will ever come back in any meaningful capacity. Boy, was we fucking wrong.
We were very, very wrong. So
because one night in Detroit.
Arrives on the scene in Detroit, and, you know, he stops a hug from his dad, which I loved so much.
Dude, the pop, Vince, though. Vince is I'm sorry, like, son. The pop. The pop when we hear "Here comes the money," because you know who it is immediately.
That's what I said. It was one of the craziest pops I've ever heard. Like, it was nuts.
Like, it's legitimate. Like, I wasn't even listening with the audio that loud, and it was like the first thing I noticed was the pop. It's legitimately one of the biggest pops of the last decade.
Yeah, and then so Shane gets down there. He stops a hug from his dad, passes up on a handshake by just moving Vince's hand down. Like, Vince has his hand out, and Shane just kind of like, no, put that away. I'm not here to shake your hand.
Yeah, like, he says that Stephanie and Triple H are running the company into the ground. Stock is crashing. Ratings are dropping. The rate of talent injuries is going up. And he blames
this was the WrestleMania
Stephanie.
Where everybody was hurt.
Yeah.
Because you and I have rebooked this WrestleMania on the podcast, and there was no... The talent pool was so thin.
Yeah, it was like Rollins, Cesaro. There was a lot more than that, but those were like Cena. Two big ones. Cena.
Was A Bella, one of them was injured.
Probably Nikki. Her neck.
But yeah, it was, I remember the memes of like the hospital ward and like you just see everybody's faces. It's like all the wrestlers.
Yeah, it was insane.
So yeah, Shane blames them for driving down stock prices and talent getting injured and the ratings being down. And then Shane starts talking about an old business deal that he made with Vince.
Yeah, he said even though he wasn't around, he didn't lose his place in line.
No, Stephanie. Get out of the way. Shane's here to jump off shit.
Stephanie was like asking Vince, like, is this true? Is all this true? Vince isn't giving her any straight answers. He's like, we'll talk about this later. We'll talk about this in the back.
There is some truth to it. Great way to admit defeat, but also still not own up to it.
Yeah.
If you're ever stumped, listeners, when you clearly did something and somebody asks you if you did it, just say there is some truth to it. Because some can be 99%, because it's still not all.
99.99%, but it's not all.
It's not all.
Shane says he wants control of Monday Night Raw. And what does Vince come back with? You got it, but I want you to have a match at WrestleMania against an opponent of my choosing. Who is it? The fucking Undertaker.
At WrestleMania 32, inside, gotta get this right, Hell in a Cell.
Not bro, bad. What?
Why does Shane need to have a match when he has the leverage on Vince?
Yeah, he had the lockbox that we'll never hear about.
We'll never hear about it again.
But anyways.
For some reason, we have to have this match, which doesn't make
a lick of sense. I like how we go into the night not thinking anything of what was going to happen to leaving with a match at WrestleMania between Shane McMahon and The Undertaker and Hell in a Cell.
So here's my favorite part of this. I predicted it. I still check it out regularly, but I used to post on the Squared Circle subreddit on Reddit. And not 2 weeks before, there was a thread And it was like, we still don't know who Undertaker's opponent's going to be. Like, who do you think it should be? And people were putting a bunch of names out there. And I jokingly said, it's going to be Shane McMahon. Here comes the money. And then that thing happened. And all of a sudden I got a bunch of up, or like somebody had said like, oh, like this guy got it. And I was like, oh no, I know nothing. Like, I am not an insider. I know nothing. It's me, the WrestleVotes account, who seems to always know something.
Okay, you know what I need before we actually get into this WrestleMania match? A break.
Yes, the world needed a break before this WrestleMania. We're going to take a break when we get back. Hell in a Cell against The Undertaker. Back from the break, and it's time to get inside the big cage with the big top on it. That's right, Hell in a Cell, Heck on the Deck, Rumble in the Jungle, Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker.
Cage with the Rage?
Yeah, Rage in the Cage. I got no more, so I'm not going to try.
Old zombie wizard versus boss's son. Shane comes out with these three sons wearing his little baseball jersey thing.
I wonder, I will say, Shane's baseball jerseys are always dope as fuck.
They really are. Cool. I want to know where he even got the idea from, because they go way back.
Yeah, they like from the beginning, like in our first match, he's wearing one.
Yeah.
And they go hard. I like them a lot.
He's wearing that with some fresh pairs of ones, like always.
Like always. I wonder if his kids jump off of tall shit too. Like, is that genetic?
Like, do they just, are they just at the top of the couch and are just like fucking coast to coast?
I once tried to do a coast to coast between my couch and my chair.
What but haven't actually, you tried?
I've had a very strange life. But when I was four, I guess I'd watched something on TV with somebody flying. It is believed to have been a Superman movie or cartoon.
Are you sure it wasn't Rob Van Dam?
It was not Rob Van Dam, because I don't think I was watching ECW at age four. I really would not hope be surprised. I would not be surprised either. But no, I tried to dive between a couch and a chair, and I landed nose first on the hardwood floor. And yeah, it was really bad. I apparently stopped crying after a while in order to console my Portuguese grandmother, who was crying harder than I was.
Anyways,
she was the one watching me. Anyways, there was a blood stain on the hardwood floor.
The match starts after me having to skip a lot of the Undertaker entrance.
Oh my god, it's so long.
It got to the point where I was so sick of heading the 10-second thing that I just dragged the button.
I love The Undertaker. I have seen an entrance of his in person when I went to a SmackDown taping. I don't remember it being this
incredible. Long?
No, definitely not. But like, man, during WrestleMania is when the ramp is that long. Oh, man. It's so long. Just, you know, that Royal Rumble where they had the carts for the bigger guys, give fucking Undertaker a cart.
Give that to Mark.
No wonder they let him ride his motorcycle out there for a while, because he was taking for fucking ever. Dude.
Anyways, the match starts. Shane's been gone 8 years or whatever the hell it had been at that point. Yeah. And the man still cannot throw a fucking punch.
He never took the time in the in-between to learn it, no.
8 years or whatever. No punch.
Nope.
Not a single good looking one.
Nope.
Then Taker like switches it on him and fucking out of shape. Completely out of shape. Looking like he's really just ready to get the hell out of there. Undertaker, with awful hair, looking as old as I've ever seen him look, decides, yeah, I'm going to show this kid how it's done. And just starts throwing the crispiest looking punches.
Yeah, Undertaker, it's like ingrained in his brain. Like, at age 80, Undertaker will be able to throw a crisp right hand.
Like, Shane stomps Undertaker to try to prevent. So Undertaker's outside, Shane's in the ring. He stomps the Undertaker out to try to prevents him from going in. Undertaker grabs him and snatches his ass like he's fucking Jason Voorhees at the end of the first Friday the 13th movie. The apron leg drop by Taker, I feared for him. And then eventually this leads to a last ride for a near fall. He immediately turns around to look at, who is it, Kyoto?
Yeah.
And I was just like, bro, we're like 5 minutes into this match. Have you ever seen wrestling? This is a half hour long match.
This isn't going to be like your Hell in a Cell against Boss Man that lasted like 7 minutes.
Yeah, you're not hanging Shane at the end, although I would not be surprised.
These people are wild. Shane locks in a triangle, and I used lock in loosely.
very loosely. It is a terrible triangle choke. As you know, I am a connoisseur of various submission holds. This is my forte here. It's not good. Pretty much the only part of it that he got correct was that he put the arm and the head through his legs.
What about it is like is most incorrect?
Okay,
what's the worst part about it?
I understand a triangle choke looks awkward in the first place.
It does. It's a very weird looking submission.
But what you're supposed to do is kind of get the person at an angle so you can get your leg underneath the jugular.
Okay.
Squeeze. Or you like trap their arm underneath their head so it's kind of like they're choking themselves.
Yeah.
He did neither.
He just is wrapped around him.
He's just like kind of like vice gripping his head.
It's a leg hug.
Anyways, choke slam on steps that I don't even remember getting into the ring for a near fall, and Taker's not happy.
Yeah, Shane kicks out on the steps, which is crazy. The fact that what I wrote down here is the believability of Shane McMahon after years away hanging with WrestleMania Undertaker, which is the hoodie mellow of wrestling, is absurd.
Also, Shane is like 48.
Yeah, it is insane that we're just like, oh, no, he can hang with him. No, yeah, it's fine. Fucking can't.
Yeah, that's okay. Taker misses a running elbow drop on the stairs. Shane hits a jumping DDT onto the steps.
By suckering him in, he's like, come in, I want more. And he suckers Undertaker in and DDTs him.
Taker sits up from a pin attempt by Shane, and Shane just starts throwing punches while they're both sitting down. And Taker puts on a Hell's Gate, which is not a triangle choke, but it's a great choke. Because why? You fucking force the person's head down onto your leg and you choke the living shit out of them with your leg.
Yeah, Undertaker taking them to school. To old school.
Shane and Sharpshooters, name a less iconic couple.
Shane and Sharpshooters is the Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries of wrestling.
Are you just saying that because you covered that in your other podcast like 5 minutes ago?
Yes, we did cover that last week.
Exactly. I was listening. Shane hit a coast to coast with a trash can this time instead of a stairs for a near fall. Shane like breaks a way out on the cage with
the whole cutters. Point of Hell in a Cell is to contain them. Like Vince even said, like, so you can't go running away. We're going to put you in Hell in a Cell. And then somebody just was like, I'll leave these bolt cutters conveniently under the ring so that anybody, should they want to escape, is free to do so.
Yeah. Dumb. Idiots. So Taker, like, fucking picks him up and they crash through. It's like a tackle, like he's fucking footballing his ass.
Yeah,
they crash through the panel.
Crashes onto the German announce table.
That could have been so dangerous.
Very nearly hits the German announcers.
Those guys were probably like Scheiße.
Yeah, and so they're now out. They have a way out into the crowd. There's a platform near the timekeepers area that I don't understand why it's there.
No reason.
It's there for this spot.
Taker ripped up the two other announce tables and starts beating Shane with a. Monitor. They get up on that platform you're talking about. Taker tries to go for a tombstone. Shane like reverses it into like a rear naked choke.
Yeah.
Taker breaks it by jumping through the announce table, Shane first.
Which is smart. You got to put Shane first. Soften the blow for yourself.
Yeah. Shane finds a toolbox. Don't know where that came from.
That's probably where the bolt cutters came from. Fiona Apple, fetch the bolt cutters.
Yeah, or maybe. That's the lockbox.
That's the lockbox. And it got damaged when he clocked it off of Undertaker's skull.
Shane puts Taker on the Spanish announce table and climbs the cage.
And we all knew Shane was going to go to the top of the cell. Once it was announced to be a Hell in a Cell match, literally everybody was like, Shane's going to jump off of that because that man's crazy.
He's and fucking almost 50.
He did. He gets up there. He lies down for a quick second, surrounded by Shane O'Mac dollars, which had fallen from the ceiling earlier. And it's like, maybe he won't do something crazy. And then he stands up and it's like, all right.
Crosses his heart. And then he's just like, I'm going to die.
When he jumps off in the build up while he's standing there, if you look, every single person is on their phone filming it.
The whole crowd is just like, this is nuts. I gotta see this. Yeah,
I want to watch a man die. Anyways.
He jumps.
You ever see a live man throw himself at a dead man? The dead man moved out of the way, and now the live man is dead, but the dead man is live.
Who's on first?
Who's dead? Anyways.
On Digger moves.
Digger moves. Shane crashes through the table. And it was at this point where Taker's out of breath and he's like on his hands and knees and everything that I realized, yo, Taker looks so fucking old.
Taker's also just like sitting in by the barricade looking at Shane like, I can't check on him, but I sure hope he's not dead.
Like, Taker drags Shane back into the ring.
Before we get into the Dragon Ring, we got to talk about Michael Cole's reading of the line. And I say reading of the line because the way the camera is set up, you can clearly see that when Michael Cole yells, "For the love of mankind," he is reading it off of a script in front of him. Which, I get scripting a big line like that ahead of time. I can understand it. If you come up with a good bit, you're going to throw it in there regardless. It's what we do on this fucking show. But you have to make it sound natural. He's literally reading it. How could you not remember that line? It's the mankind fell off the thing. Like, how do you not remember that? Michael, you're a professional.
Anyways, Taker drags Shane back into the ring. It's a tombstone.
You keep cutting me off when I'm mad. Let me be mad about stupid shit. It's this whole podcast.
After short respect to Shane. And 1, 2, 3, the dead man has won the match. Because, duh.
Of course he was going to win the match.
Yeah. Did we expect The Undertaker to fucking have two losses at WrestleMania and the second one was Shane McMahon?
The two people who can defeat WrestleMania Undertaker, Brock Lesnar and Shane McMahon. The two toughest men alive. Let's move to our last match.
Let's move to the third toughest man alive.
George Mizanin. So it is WrestleMania 35. It's Shane versus The Miz in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Remember that these two were tag team champions for a little bit?
Dude, wild. The best tag team in the world or whatever the hell they were.
Shane turned on Miz after losing titles to the Usos at Elimination Chamber. And this is the feud that brought George Mizanin into the spotlight once more. That absolute fucking Adonis, George Mizanin.
I love that man.
I
do you watch Miz and Mrs. at all?
I don't.
Or like follow it on Twitter? That's what I do. George is awesome.
I love all accounts, he seems like a pretty funny guy.
George and Maurice's mom are the two greatest people on this earth.
I mean, no love for Miz or Maurice?
No, who gives a fuck?
It's just their show.
Yeah. Although, shout out to The Miz. He tore his ACL. He's going to be gone for a long time.
Yeah.
I hope he's better. I'm happy he's getting some time off, though, because like he's got kids. His wife's really hot.
He's going to be fine.
He makes a lot of money.
He's going to pop on some up, down streams, just jam, hang out with Maurice.
He gets to watch the Browns be successful for once.
Yeah, the Browns are going to be good. They're going to be good.
Baker Mayfield. Anyways.
Baker, baby. So, on the way out, Shane puts his hands on George, who's at ringside. Like, immediately, like, he's like threatening Miz. He's like, oh, I'm going to beat your dad up. And then Miz chases him down. He waits for Miz to leap a barricade after him and connects with a punch. Shane continues to have his number one offensive move be cardio. That's his whole gimmick.
Yeah, it's fucking hell. Miz baits Shane. Shane baits Miz hard body karate. The punches do not get better at all.
No. Like you said, they might be worse.
They might legitimately be worse. We're like 3 minutes in and Shane is already trying to elbow drop Miz through a table.
Yep.
George Mizanin, though.
George Mizanin comes in to protect his boy.
Superman.
Stands in the way of Shane on the top rope. Pick on somebody your own size, Shane. Pick on somebody your own age, Shane. So then George gets in the ring and he squares up. He is ready to fucking throw hands with the greatest striker of our generation.
Fighting stance. First off, what I hate about this, more than anything, is that Shane tries to handicap him by teaching him how to properly stand to throw the punch.
He does. He's like, no,
Shane, you're not one to give punching lessons. You are literally the last person I would go to for how to throw a punch.
So then he jumps him. Shane jumps George and
stops him. The worst corner. Flying knee I've ever seen.
Yeah, life. It just was like a knee push. Miz, though, is a man on fire, comes back into the ring. He's like, don't touch my daddy. Just beats him up. Good for Miz. Fire.
Yeah, shout out,
Miz. What do you think about Babyface Miz? What is your thoughts on Babyface
Miz? I hate that this whole feud happened because, like, it should have just been Miz who was a heel and Shane was a babyface. Like, I understand we wouldn't have gotten as much George, but what if George was a heel?
I bet George could rock the heel role.
Dude, George Mizeta would be the biggest heel in the company.
Super heel go. George Mizanin.
The real tribal chief. Miz throws Shane into the crowd and then goes to check on George. Miz then slowly runs and then jumps over the barricade and tackles Shane. There's a DDT on a platform thing in the crowd.
Yeah, and then they brawl up to the international commentators row.
Indeed.
We get a Funaki appearance for two straight episodes.
Indeed.
I do like seeing Funaki.
Miz uses cables to dropkick Shane. Miz then hits Shane's knee with a chair and then just starts hitting Shane with the chair like normal.
Yeah.
Miz slams Shane through a table.
Yeah.
In like, all right, so it's like a 180 like hip toss slash belly to belly suplex.
Yeah. I was like, Shane gets put through a table. I don't know what to call the move.
Clash of the Titus.
Yeah, that's actually it's very similar to a Clash of Titus without like any sort of sit out action.
Yeah, he just kind of like he just slammed him. Yeah. Where were we here? Right, near fall.
This is when I made the note about Shane loves selling by like wheezing and coughing, and it drives me nuts.
You know, I don't think he's selling.
He's just.
I think he's old.
I just don't understand that every time he's trying to sell, it's always.
Miz hits Shane with a monitor over the guardrail, and they're.
I fucking acting, love that spot because it looks like Shane like he dies. Like
fell some insane distance. He fell like 5 feet.
He literally lands on the roof of a golf cart and then rolls to the ground. But the way that it was filmed looks like it looked like Money in the Bank where they actually murdered Aleister Black and Rey Mysterio. Remember
that? But like not really. They fell like 2 feet.
What a weird Money in the Bank preview that was, where we let Otis. What a great
pay per view that was.
It's so good.
I love that match. Miz hits skull crushing finale in the tech area, and Shane kicks out. And this was the point where you were like, "What the fuck? Is Shane actually going to win this match?"
Yeah. Shane then goes to his one natural defense tactic, which is to climb things. So he sees something beside him, and he's like, oh, "I'll climb that, and that's how I'll get away." So he climbs the structure, Miz chases him, and then they get to the top of the camera structure, and Shane is on a knee, and he's saying sorry, and that's when we get to the finish.
Yeah, they get to the top, Miz grabs Shane, scoots over to the edge, hits a superplex off the top, and then Shane is like barely on top of Miz, yeah. Like barely.
His shoulder is just a little on top of Miz's like chest.
Yeah, and Lil Nate counts to three. Everyone is like confused, and then Shane's music starts playing, and the announcers are like, "What the fuck?"
It's good though that you hear Lil Nate be like, "Shane's the winner." Like you hear him say that, so anyone at home is like, "Oh, it is happening this way." Fuck. But yeah, it's the first win for Shane in every match that we've covered, proving that he is the best in the world. Because he comes out on top in the end. It only had to be Miz that he beats. I want you to rank for me the five big spots that we covered. All of the falling off of things, the King of the Ring things, in terms of what you would do from most likely to least likely. Yeah, not best, but most likely to least likely.
I can tell you last which one's least likely.
King of the Ring.
Kurt. Yeah.
Yes.
King of the Ring Fuck is no. least likely.
No, thank
most
you.
Most likely would probably be the Superplex.
Yep. Me too.
What was the one with Kane?
Off the Unforgiven set.
I would do that one.
Based on the landings, I'm going to put SummerSlam versus Blackman second because it looked like the softer landing.
Yeah, but you fall farther.
That's true.
You know, more force. I would put Kane second. I would put Hell in a Cell third.
Really?
SummerSlam 4th.
So I think Hell in a Cell is.
Well, you look at the fucking table when he lands through it. The thing explodes with pillows, like, or the little foam stuff. Like, he's fine.
Danger. Dangerous. But
I'm sure the table probably hurt a bit, but like everything hurts.
Life hurts.
Yeah. Kurt, at me falling on my head on concrete, there's just like that's not only is that fifth, it's like sixth, seventh, and eighth.
Like, yeah, no. Like not a chance in hell I'm taking that bump. So you gotta respect Shane for his ability to take these things, sacrifice his body and his well being for the benefit of the fans. Which is weird because like it's gotten to a point where it's old now. So when he had that WrestleMania match against Braun Strowman, we're all like, he's going to get thrown off the cage. We're not excited. It also, that Dude. Match also had a terrible build.
That match was also terrible.
Oh, it was all bad. But like, I love that they now treat Shane McMahon as the like an Undertaker type of attraction. Like you get a Shane McMahon match at WrestleMania. Ooh. And like a couple years, it's turned out well. AJ Styles was a surprise hit. The Miz, I thought was pretty good. I thought that match flew by watching it.
It was like 15 minutes. It felt like five.
I would say that the Miz match is probably my favorite actual match of them all. It's that or Kurt.
Yeah, it was the one I was most invested in.
Yeah, for sure. But now it's like, you know, Shane's going to go to WrestleMania. He's going to wrestle somebody.
Can't wait for him to wrestle Seth Rollins and jump off of the Thunderdome.
He jumps through the Thunderdome and destroys it, and then they go back to live TV. To live touring.
That's how they go back to live TV, is him jumping off the Thunderdome.
Can't wait for them to be able to come back into Canada. It'll probably be a very long time, but I can't wait.
Yeah, you can. No, I'm pretty sure you can wait.
Because the city I'm moving to is a city where they actually get WWE shows. So I am fucking pumped.
Yeah, I mean, I get WWE shows like every 4 months and I still just don't go.
Come on, man. You gotta go. Check it out.
For what?
I don't know. Cheer on Bobby Lashley.
It's never going to get any better for me. I got to see the go-home show to WrestleMania a couple years ago.
That's true. That's a good peak. I mean, admittedly, I saw NXT TakeOver Toronto the first one, so like that's a pretty good peak.
Admittedly, it was the WrestleMania 32, so like the worst one of the last couple years. But
I thought the build to that show, given the amount of injuries, was actually not that bad.
Yeah, the go-home segment was Brock and Moxley.
And Dean. Yeah. Which I'm sorry, cool. I went by his forbidden name.
No, you're fine. I just forgot his name was Dean Ambrose for a second there. That's why I called him Moxley.
They call him. That is going to wrap up Shane McMahon. What were your thoughts watching all these?
Oh, I mean, my first thought was he's the best in the world.
Yeah.
I'm not doing any more than that.
I mean, he is.
It was exactly as I expected it to be. This is one of the only episodes we've done where I expected what was going to happen, and then it actually happened exactly how I expected.
That's actually a really good way to put it. Like, I knew what Shane brought. Like, I know what Shane brings to the table. You know? Like, I know the punches suck. I know the selling's a little weird. I know he is pretty athletic for, like, a guy who isn't a professional
wrestler. Yeah, just some jabron from Connecticut. Yeah.
You know, hanging out with the Mean Street Posse, who did not get a shout out in this episode yet, which is sacrilegious.
We will get to that.
Yeah, we will. Can't wait for the Mean Street Posse episode when we're at episode like 375.
They'll get a three-parter.
One for Joey Abs, one for Pete Gass, and one for Rodney.
Exactly.
It's going to be great. But yeah, no, this is exactly what I expected from Shane. This is the exact type of match you know that he's going to have. He's going to jump off shit. He's going to jump off
basically
shit.
Basically, the rest of the match is just going to be built up. It's just going to be built up to the point where he jumps off shit. That's all that.
But I will say, upon rewatch, some matches I liked less and some I liked more. The Undertaker one was painful upon rewatch.
No, that was painful live for me as well.
But no, like it was maybe worse watching it again because you know that you haven't seen the spot yet. And your brain's like, oh my God, I know where we're going. Just get there.
Sure,
the Kurt Angle match as an actual match, I was like, this is actually
I don't good. Remember like, the Kurt match. Like I went into that like actually I was just gonna watch it because I was like,
yeah,
yeah, well, how bad could this be? It was fucking brutal.
And then the Miz match is good.
Yeah, like, I enjoyed it.
It's actually really good. I like that one.
It was a good match. It had a good build to it, and I got to see George Mizanin.
The legend himself, George Mizanin. That is going to wrap up this week. Javier, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMLO Sports. Follow me, please.
Follow me, please. Please give me follows. Follow me on Twitter at It's Evan Gomes, ITSEVANGOMES. Follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Crossbody of Work. If you have ideas for who we should cover, crossbodyworkpodcast@gmail.com on the interwebs. Next week, we're going back to women's wrestling to cover a women's wrestler who was not particularly great at the women's wrestling. That's the best way to describe it.
But probably, she's right? Also like super famous.
Yeah, she is one of the most original divas. She is one of the people who like really put, you know, women in wrestling on the map, whether that was, it wasn't really for good wrestling, but it was for just how popular she was.
She also dated A-Rod.
And is married to Brock Lesnar. So we will only say nice things about her.
Oh, sorry, no. I got the wrong diva. Forget about that.
You
did
get the wrong diva. Yeah. Not dating A-Rod. We're talking about Sable next week.
Yeah, the other one.
We are talking about Sable next week. As we build towards our next three-parter, which is a surprise still. We'll keep that a surprise. Dun-dun. Javier, any final words for the people?
Black lives matter. Asian lives matter. Keep fighting the good fight, everyone. It's been 1 year since George Floyd was unfortunately taken from us. And let's just say he's not going to be forgotten anytime soon.
See you next week.